For Discovery Health, I'm Will Johnson. Welcome to our Discovery Health podcast, and we are very lucky this week to be talking to Dr. Jan Garvalia, Chief Medical Examiner for the District 9 Medical Examiner's Office in Orlando, Florida, and the star of Discovery Health's most popular series, Dr. G, Medical Examiner. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, the show is amazing, and we want to talk a little bit about your background and how you got started and all that kind of stuff on our podcast. So, again, thanks for being here, and let's start by maybe you can just tell us how you became interested in forensic pathology.
Well, I think most people in my era who got interested in forensic pathology were probably already in medical school because we didn't really have a role model to look at or really knew much about it. And so I was in, there was a relatively well-known forensic pathologist at my medical school at St. Louis University. It was Dr. Gantner, and he gave the most fascinating lectures. It was not something I felt like I was going to probably go into because I, you know, went into medicine to, I mean, I hate to sound Pollyanna here, but to help people and, you know, contribute to society. And I thought, wow, those are interesting lectures, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm going to be doing internal medicine, or, you know, I hadn't really picked what I was going to do. And so I did end up going into internal medicine, and I ended up not getting as excited about it as I thought I would be. And a lot of, I hate to say this, there's a lot of complaints when you're in internal medicine. And I thought, I just didn't think it was for me. It was, just seemed to be the same kind of diseases over and over. And it seemed to be a lot of lifestyle problems and people not taking care of themselves. And you would try to help them and they just were doing the same old thing. And so I started thinking, I really have to find something that I'm going to be thrilled about for the rest of my life. And I started thinking back to those lectures by Dr. Gantner, and I thought, well, why not go into that? But I had to really kind of bring together the fact that, am I really doing anything for anybody? Am I helping society? Am I helping anybody? Or I'm just, you know, going to be enjoying myself in life. And then when I really got into it and started talking to Dr. Gantner about it, I really realized that there is very much a lot of good you can do by figuring out why people die. Good for the living and good for society, and that we can help with prosecutions and maybe changing, bringing, highlighting some problems with accidental deaths or the way children die. I mean, there's a lot of good things that you can bring out by looking at all these deaths. And so I thought, you know, that is the field for me. And I've really never regretted it. It has been. I mean, I think I found my niche.
So, Dr. G, what's the difference between what you're doing and, say, what the coroner is doing?
Oh, that's a good question, because a coroner is an elected official in most states. Now, first of all, let us say that there is a patchwork of different ways across the country, almost like a quilt, may we say, of how death are investigated, not so much on the police side, but on the examination of the body and how that is handled. In some jurisdictions, there's a medical examiner. Medical examiners are doctors who are trained in pathology and usually then subspecialized in forensic pathology. That field of pathology that specializes in wound interpretation, ballistics through the body, and basically how people die suddenly and unexpectedly. Now, a coroner is an old title from England. I think it's kind of the keeper of the crown. And this, you know, goes back to around the 1200s, 1100s. And the coroner, the king actually needed somebody to kind of be a double check on the sheriff and actually help collect taxes. They were just to certify the death and to kind of record of what happened. Now, we inherited that system, and the coroner certified the death, but was not necessarily a doctor. They were just elected officials. And that's how, still in the United States, many of the jurisdictions are. They're elected officials that certify the death. Now, hopefully, there are some good coroners in the United States that will hire pathologists then to do an autopsy if there's a question. but it never made sense to me why you would have a coroner to sign a death certificate. It doesn't make sense. I mean, why don't we get rid of the middleman? In some coroners, the only qualification to be a coroner is to be elected. I've worked with coroners that are tow truck operators. I've worked with coroners who run funeral homes, and they're the ones that have the legal obligation to sign death certificates in that jurisdiction on anybody who dies of anything but a natural disease. The medical examiner, on the other hand, is a system where you actually have doctors who are trained in sudden and unexpected death to determine the cause. They do the autopsy and they sign the death certificate. So there are some good coroners, but they usually, on the good offices, they will head an office with the medical examiners working for him. I've just never understood why do we need the middleman, but, if it works for your jurisdiction, it works for your jurisdiction. I just won't work in those jurisdictions. I like being in charge of my own death certificates and my own rulings.
And does that mean that then you are on the scene of the crime or whatever it is?
I can go to the scene of the crime, and just like a coroner could go to the scene of the crime. But you do need to know when you determine a cause of death and look into how somebody dies. You do need to see how they were found. You need to see the surroundings. You need to see the circumstances. You also need their history. You need to know what the circumstances are leading up to the death. But I have in my office death investigators that are my eyes and ears that go there with a digital camera that take pictures of the body for me and then bring those back to the office that I can look at and study prior to starting the autopsy. So I can go to the scene if the scene is very complicated. I don't always need to or even often go to the scene because I have digital pictures that I can see the circumstances in which they died before I start my autopsy. If I didn't have those digital pictures, I would need to go to the scene much more often.
Let me ask, on a daily basis, what's the most challenging thing that you must do?
Every day I've got somebody dead in here that I have to figure out why they died. And some of those cases are quite easy, gunshot wounds that I just have to kind of follow the path and look at the distance. And then there's some people are just mysterious deaths that they're dead and we can't figure out why they died. So, those are difficult cases, much more difficult sometimes to figure out. But yet, if I have a guy who's got 20 gunshot wounds in them, those are very difficult and tedious to autopsy because I have to track all those bullets, I have to recover those bullets. So those are difficult in a different type of way. And then I have decomposed bodies. Those are difficult in another way because a lot of people can't even stand to be in the same room with a decomposed body because of the smell, because of the sight of it. So that may be a difficult case in another type of way. So when we say difficult, or a lot of people have a hard time talking to the family, their child dies and I have to call them up and we have to discuss why they died. That's difficult for other people. So I think every aspect of a different case can be difficult. It depends what is difficult to you. I find it all kind of routine now. I never actually enjoy, I guess for me, some tedious things are more difficult for me because I want them over right away. So in a way, those are difficult for me. I like a good challenge of why somebody died and I don't have the answer right away. Those are interesting to me. So, you could look at them as difficult, but I see them as interesting. So I don't know. The difficult part is all relative.
Let me, it's sort of a strange question here, but is there anything that scares you or just maybe freaks you out?
Yeah, live things. And I don't mean that just even flippantly. I mean, once a body is dead, I don't like live animals coming from the body. I don't particularly like spiders on the body. If I'm going to deal with the dead, I want it all dead. So I don't like rats, mice coming out of the body. I don't like that sort of thing.
And you sort of answered this a little bit, speaking of the challenges of the job, but what do you like most about your job?
I like most about my job is that it causes you to think. It causes you to have to put the pieces together. Every death is a little bit different. And the other aspect of the job that's really interesting is we have like a snapshot of all these people's lives. You know, the people who died today did not know they were going to be dead yesterday. And, you know, whatever they were doing, it's kind of frozen in time. And it's very interesting to see how these different people lived and see how they died and what was going on in their life. I find that really fascinating. I'm a big people watcher. Although most of my people are dead, it's still very, very interesting.
And you talked a little bit about cases that are more difficult. Has there ever been, or are there cases that stump you and just can't be figured out?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every office has cases that you can't figure out. I mean, certainly there's going to be a whole group of cases that we call physiologic, whether it be, you know, like a heart arrhythmia. The heart has an electrical system that causes it to beat. If you have a physiologic death in that you have a primary heart arrhythmia, maybe there's something inherently wrong with the conduction system, like a prolonged QT, which, you know, we don't need to go into, but it's something that is wrong with the electrical system that I wouldn't be able to tell after death. I may never figure that out. I would have to piece that together with maybe a family history or the way you died. But sometimes I can't piece it together. Maybe you were just found dead in bed, and I don't know that you collapsed suddenly. Or maybe nobody really had this in your family prior, or that they didn't know about it. So, you know, sometimes I just can't put it together. So those physiologic deaths are always going to be difficult. And sometimes there's, you know, there's certain deaths that we just can't always tell. We just don't know. I mean, maybe because we don't have enough history, we don't have enough findings at autopsy, that will just stump us.
How many autopsies do you perform daily or weekly?
Well, I'm not always in the morgue. I am busy because I do have a full-time job. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, besides the TV show, I am the chief medical examiner here and have all those responsibilities that go with that. So I manage the office. Plus, I have a full workload down in the morgue. And we will do probably around 1,200 autopsies by me and my staff this year. And unfortunately, you know, we've had some openings, and sometimes we're down to three doctors, and sometimes we can get up to four or five, depending on our staffing. But this year it looks like I'll probably do around 300 autopsies. So you can divide that out. Sometimes I'll do, today I did three autopsies. Sometimes I'll do four or five autopsies, and sometimes I'll do no autopsies.
And you talk about balancing the television show with your schedule. We all also know that you have a family, and you have to balance that as well. What's that like?
Right. And believe it or not, they're actually my very top priority. And I have two boys. One of them is getting ready to go to college, and I have a 12-year-old, and then I just got married the past year. And it takes, they're very understanding of me, but they're not too understanding if I don't cook them a home-cooked meal, especially my two boys. They're used to me, I'm a, you know, good cook, and they're used to me having a big meal. And I think that's the most difficult thing is sometimes I just don't have time, and we're going to have to get, you know, we have to kind of get something quick. So I think that's the only time they get upset with me is if I don't have time to cook. But they're on the most part pretty understanding. But I do, I'm Italian, and I'm an Italian mother, and I like to show them a lot of attention.
What do they think about your job and also having a television show now?
I don't think they could care. They don't watch the show. I think they're just sick of hearing my voice. I don't know. Sometimes they say that I'm known and famous enough just to be irritating, because, you know, we'll get interrupted maybe at dinner, but I don't get a better table at dinner. Sometimes when somebody, one of their friends, has seen me on TV, they think that's kind of cool. But other than that, I don't think it phases them one bit.
All right. Well, Dr. G, we really appreciate your talking to us today on our Discovery Health podcast. And be sure to check out Dr. G and her amazing stories of life. Life and Death on Dr. G Medical Examiner Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Discovery Health. Thanks once again.
Thank you.
And for Discovery Health, I'm Will Johnson.